This episode is brought to you by Preapps. Go to preapps.com and you can check out their app demo video service. Now, I want you to think about the app stores that you download apps from. All the successful apps have these app demo videos, and you need a very slick app demo video. They can do that for you. It starts for as little as $199, and they can create a really cool demo video which will help increase downloads. So just go to preapps.com and look for the App Guy drop down. And thank you, Preapps, for sponsoring this show. This episode is sponsored by GummyCube. They worry about your app store optimization, so you don't have to. You can focus on building an app, which is actually what we want to do. They offer a full service app store optimization. They have an expert team. It's really only one click away. You just need to go to GummyCube, GummyCube.com, and they can take care of all the updates, all the keywords, the metadata, and they offer full enterprise grade support. So GummyCube, thank you very much for supporting this show. This episode is brought to you by Asking Point. With just one line of code, Asking Point Rating Booster uses app analytics to find your app's fans and ask them to rate it. This means more and better ratings, which directly translates into better downloads. So go to www.askingpoint.com/appguy, all lowercase, askingpoint.com/appguy. You'll get a basic account so you can try this stuff out for free. And if you do go to the premium services, then you get a discount of 30% off for the first 6 months. Thank you very much, Asking Point, for sponsoring this show.
Hi, I'm Chai Hu, CEO and co-founder of Cubop, and you're listening to the App Guy podcast.
The App Guy Podcast, straight from your host, Paul, the App Guy, sharing his app entrepreneur journey with you for your enjoyment. And now, Paul, the App Guy.
Welcome to another episode of the App Guy Podcast. I'm your host. It's Paul Kemp. I love this podcast. It does go around the world. We do go to a lot of different countries. And today we are in Spain because we have an entrepreneur, someone who is working for a startup. Now, it's actually quite old in startup terms. And our previous guest, his startup was 1 day old. This is startup's 2 years old. And it's Yeeply.com. Yeeply, I want you to go to Yeeeply, Yeeply.com. Go and check them out. And they are really hiring the best experts to help develop your mobile application. The entrepreneur I have is Fernando Ballester. He's part of the business team there. And he's here to help us talk about the things that Yeeply are doing. So, Fernando, welcome to the App Guy podcast.
Hi, Paul.
I just wanted to start with if you could tell us a bit about Yeeply, what it is you do there.
Sure. I heard you spelling the name, and that reminds me that Yeeply stands for Young Engineers Extremely Prepared Like You. that's what the name means, even though we don't use it too much, but just it's a funny story.
Okay, let me just repeat that then. Young engineers, extremely
prepared
like you. Yeeply, there you go.
Yeah. What we do is we are a marketplace. We connect companies and professionals that want to have an application, but they don't know the technical skills to develop it. So, on the other hand, we have a community of professionals, extremely prepared, of course, about mobile technology, and they can read the project description and pitch to the companies or entrepreneurs to be their developer. So, basically, we match this project with a person that is capable of doing it.
Right. Okay. So I am a company, for example, and I have a project for an app. And what I can do is I can go to your community of professionals and post the ideas of the app and then get invites to be a developer on my team.
Yep. It's not about forming a team, but about outsourcing the development part or the design part or the marketing part.
Yeah, so here's the big challenge I think a lot of my listeners have is they have an app idea. Some of them actually don't code and they need to get a coder. And we tend to go to resources like Odesk.com or Elance.com. Are you saying that your community then is totally geared just for developing, and that hence you're likely to get a better professional working on your app.
Yeah, that's correct. We only do mobile projects, so that's what is different from us, or for Ghibli, from Elance, freelancer.com, or those marketplaces you mentioned. Most of the projects we get are development projects, because as you said, many entrepreneurs, like myself, for example, we are limited on the technical skills. I don't know how to code neither. But that doesn't mean we cannot fulfill or see our ideas transforming into a real product. And that's why Ghibli exists. So you can outsource the part you don't know how to do, and you can take care of the parts you know how to perform.
Yeah, this is great, Fernando, because I remember last year trying to unbundle the whole process of building an app. And it's because that some of the clients I was working with come from web development, and so they weren't really appreciative of the space of apps. And if you think about it, there's the prototyping, there's the graphic work, there's the features that you need to put in, and you need to do a lot of work before you then speak to the professional. Are you doing it from like the very early stages of prototyping right through to then the hard coding at the end, or is it where projects are mostly finished and then just need coded?
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm glad you asked this, because probably it's one of the most interesting topics we can talk about. Most of the projects we get are to be built from the scratch. They are just ideas or solutions that entrepreneurs or companies have, and they want to outsource the full development. But they think the development is the whole process, while we think the business is also a part, the other 50% of this process. It's not just about development, but also how you are going to optimize the app or make it visible at the markets so users will download it. And because of this, we found that most of the apps existing in the market are not profitable, and we try to put in the eyes of the developers that they also have to, or the clients, that they also have to take care of the marketing side. But asking directly your question, at Ghibli you can post rather a full project, or just adding a new feature or an app that exists in the market and you developed before with another company, or just a design of new screens. We take any kind of project, they just must be mobile.
Yeah, and if I'm listening to this and I am an app developer and I am struggling to get work, which is actually, it's quite a lucrative market now for that skill set. But what do I need to do to get through to be one of your professional experts?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a good question as well. The developers, as you said, they are great in coding. But or they don't have the time to find the projects or this commercial side, or they just don't want to spend much money on having a person, an associate, or hiring a commercial. So this is why places like Ghibli exist, so they can just sign up. We have a freemium model, so sign up is free, unless you want to upgrade your account, of course. And once you sign up, you have already access to read all the projects that are active at our platform, and you are able to send a maximum of two offers, so two different projects, and the budget is limited for the free members. But if you pay a paid subscription, then you get unlimited offers and access to the biggest projects. I mean, budgets over 1,000 euro, projects that of course are bigger.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, we recently interviewed an entrepreneur whose minimum budget was $100,000. What sort of average size do you think a lot of these projects are on your platform?
Well, the medium ticket we have, it's much lower than the figure you mentioned. I would say it's around 5,000 euro. And I'm going to explain why. The Spanish market is not that mature when it comes to outsourcing, and Ghibli or places like Ghibli are growing, of course, but the big projects are still working on the old way. So they go directly to some agency and try to ask for a budget. And that's why we have opened a second revenue stream or second business line that we call Ghibli Brands. And what we do is acquiring projects and not putting them on the platform, but sending them out to those pay users of our community that give us the most confidence in terms of quality of development. And we ask them directly for a price for those projects. And that's why we have gained big projects such as the Spanish League fantasy game, or the Spanish League official TV app, and several other big accounts that come to this Ghibli Brands line that I just told you.
Yeah, it's great then to have this resource, because you rightly said, if I'm a freelancer developer, I've got this skill set, but I don't really want to work for a large organization, I can just come to you and get a ready list of projects that I can bid on as a freelancer. So, are you seeing like an? I mean, you've been going for 2 years. I'm wondering, are you seeing like a big demand for app projects? Is it growing rapidly?
Well, it's growing extremely fast. As you said, we have been 2 years in the market. The company started at a Plug and Play Accelerator, which is based here in Valencia. And now we are based at the university. We are not a spin-off, but there is a hub here at the university for young and innovative companies like Ghibli. And we, thanks to the Spanish market, we get also projects from Latin America without being present there, let's say. We don't have offices only in Colombia, but not in the rest of the LATAM. And we get a lot of projects, and most of our developers are also Latin American freelancers. And for example, we just launched in France the fr.ghibli.com, and without doing a big positioning or big campaign on search engine optimization, we already started to receive projects, and projects from big accounts as well, like for example McDonald's for an app that comes with augmented reality. It's not a project that we have developed, but we are in conversations with. So I must say that the market is growing extremely fast, and also the it's changing in the way that the companies more often come to marketplaces to outsource the development, so they don't go to small studios that often as before.
Well, I just have to say that, I mean, it's wonderful that you have this resource then for developers. You know, for anyone who is thinking about becoming an app developer, is it a good career to get into? Is it a good skill, do you think, to have?
Well, of course, I regret to myself that I hadn't studied anything connected with coding or informatics, IT in general. Because I think that is the most, I would say, growing market nowadays. And if you have those kind of skills, probably everyone is going to have that in the future, at least from amateur skills to advanced skills. And I think there won't be people that doesn't know anything about it. So I must say, yeah, it's a great choice if you want to study anything connected with development. And if I wouldn't be already in the working market, I'd probably go back to try to study that, because as I was telling you before we start recording, I did journalism, and I'm learning now by force, by the practice. But of course, I hadn't learned anything of coding before, and I regret it to myself. So I would encourage anyone that wants to go for IT to do it.
Let's see if we can do something, which is encourage someone who's listening to this show right now to take some online training, because you can go to some great resources to start learning how to code. I remember using lynda.com to learn the basics of coding in iOS, and there's just so many other resources. I know I'm running a giveaway right now, which is an online course to build an app in Swift, which is the new language by Apple. And so there's definitely resources. So I'm going to just throw the gauntlet down to the listeners and say, look, you know, listen to Fernando. There is a market out there for this. You need to start learning it because you can charge a lot of money. What sort of rates do you averagely get for developers? Have you got like a ballpark figure for the average hourly rate, or is it per project?
Well, the developers, they can freely post an offer to the client depending on how much they charge to the client. I mean, Ghibli only goes on a commission over the total price. So it's not that we set any price per hour, but I can tell you because I try to obtain those numbers from each new user that lands in Ghibli. And in Spain, we are talking about 25-30 euro per hour would be considered an average price for development. And companies that charge 40-50 euro per hour are considered expensive, so they probably or have a better quality, or they are larger companies. And some of the Latin American freelancers are below 20 euro per hour. I know these figures are much different in UK, but we don't have offices there yet. Some of our partners work for the UK market, and they charge, of course, over 50 pounds per hour development code. But I'll tell you the rates for Spain that I told you. I'm sure I cannot talk for other markets yet.
Yeah, well, I mean, here's an idea for someone who's listening to this, who's going to a job that they're not particularly enjoying, that you can become an app developer. You create a nice portfolio of projects that you've worked on, that you can demonstrate that you've got this skill and you can show clients. And then you can work on this stuff mostly remotely. So you can go and live somewhere in Asia. Somewhere, you know, there's a list of very good and cheap places to live around the world. And then, you know, charge rates of 30 euros up per hour and get this source of work. And the wonderful thing is, most of the work, I'm guessing, is remote. You don't have to go to the client's offices.
Yeah, I'm glad you say that. I was living in Poland for 4 years and I was working remotely all the time. I never had to look for a job there, although there were very good opportunities. But I was working remote, but living, making money through Google AdSense. It's not connected with development. It's more about content creation. But the case is the same. Yeah, I agree that you can live remotely from anywhere if you know what's your best skill and you know how to explore it. And also about these tools you were mentioning, I would say my experience, how did I discover that this is the world I want to work in, let's say, or the kind of the sector I want to work in? It was by attending Startup Weekend. It's I don't know if you're familiar with it, but in UK there is one each month for sure, especially in London. There are 10 events per year at least, and it's more or less a sort of a hackathon. When Fridays you can go and pitch your idea, then form teams and work hard during the whole weekend, and by Sunday you are presenting an MVP in front of a panel. And when I attended that first time in Poland, the energy I experienced by working with people I didn't know, but all of us extremely pump up, working on the same thing, even we didn't manage to win the contest or anything. It was when I really opened my eyes.
Yeah, it's just an introduction to what it's like and to have a lifestyle in startups, to have a job almost in a young company, because I never knew this world existed until I started doing this podcast. And this whole world then suddenly opened up, and it's just so exciting. I have to pick you up on one thing. It's going to go slightly off topic, but you mentioned working, I guess, as a digital nomad in Poland for 4 years, and you supplemented your income then with Google AdSense. Tell us a little bit about that. What was that like?
Okay, so basically, when I finished my studies here in Spain, I got an internship at a company, and they had a portal for motorsport news, and I was the one writing the content. And I found out with the informatics of that company that by creating some kind of live content, I mean, when the races were going on, The amount of readers was much bigger than during the week when we were just producing breaking news, let's say. Yeah? And we started to think, and we thought, if this is true, then let's go for a market where there are more readers, like, for example, football. And we opened like several websites, I would say 6, 7 websites, all of them about sports mostly, and from different point of views. I mean, one was talking from the Real Madrid fans' point of view, another one from FC Barcelona point of view, and we were exploring those live game news, like trying to bring the most readers by doing live scores and so on. And the amount of clicks on the Google AdSense was extremely high, and the content was very easy to produce. I'm talking about 300, 250, 300 words. It's not like, it was not really content quality like a journalist would do. Yeah, it was more some kind of
was that
hacker
for sort of SEO type
that's
writing.
Correct.
But
that's
then you ended up supplementing your time there from this money that you were making from Google AdSense.
Yeah, completely. I mean, for example, Real Madrid against Barcelona, one game could bring us up to €1,000, and it was just 1 hour of work to produce the news, or 90 minutes, the game duration. So that was better than trying to find any job, for sure. And it's not only about the money, it's what I was learning while doing this, how to optimize the visibility of the pages. Then, for example, after that, we try a bigger and more serious project, because those guys, the informatics, my friends, have a business directory for a Spanish company, something like Yellow Pages. And we tried to replicate that for the US market. And I was the one doing the translations, because my English was better than theirs, just
right,
because
okay.
of that. and then we put it online. And the three first months were awesome, like figures, our eyes were big open, wide open. And the fourth month we got banned by Google, because we were too ambitious and we did something that was not correct. So I think, having a corporative job, things like that never happen, and that's why I prefer to be in this kind of job.
Yeah. So what happened was the stress of getting this and working, you know, through Google. I know that they can just give you what's called a Google slap, and that's the end of your business. So
yeah,
effectively, then you I guess a lot of that income dried up at the end, and you then decided to. Call it a day, but it must have been a good 4 years.
Yeah, it was, as you said, we call it a day basically because Google changed the rules. I mean, the content now has to be, it needs to have more quality. The quality is measured by how many times the content is shared. Well, we were in a different business, and we didn't like, I mean, it was working double to probably end up with half. So we moved on, and actually those guys now are developing apps, and on an app marketplace, mobile marketplace company. So more or less we ended up in the same sector, although we are not in the same company.
So there again, I'm appealing to the Appster tribe listening to this right now, which is that even though you know you're learning all this stuff, it can be applied to other different industries, other different jobs, and so all the stuff that you learned was invaluable, and it was nice to make that bit of money along the way as well. I guess you weren't too upset when Google slapped you, and then it was the end of that. Well, I hope you're enjoying this episode. I just want to take a few minutes to thank my sponsors. First is Preapps, and they are one of the hottest startups for the app entrepreneur space that you'll find on the market. They have been featured in TechCrunch and USA Today and Killer Startups. Now, if you go to their homepage, www.preapps.com, you'll see that they have this huge community of users who are looking to provide feedback. They want the apps before anyone else. And so what they're prepared to do for rewards is give you feedback, to give you insights into your minimum viable product, your app. And what that means is when you do eventually go to launch, that you're going to avoid a lot of that negative criticism that comes out from the feedback and hits the App Store reviews. So go and check them out at www.preapps.com. And it's free to sign up. They do have some premium services there as well. Thank you very much, Preapps, for continuing to support this show. This episode is sponsored by GummyCube. GummyCube have just appeared in VentureBeat, and it's really an exciting article that's been shared several hundred times on Twitter and Facebook and LinkedIn. What they're talking about is their App Store optimization service, but more importantly, talking about DataCube, which is giving developers a lot more App Store intelligence. Now, the founder behind this, Dave Bell, he is a veteran mobile entrepreneur. He knows exactly what to provide to app developers. They've just raised $830,000 in seed money, so they're able to pump a lot of this money into making this service awesome. And it really is a case of tapping into the insights that DataCube is providing, which makes their App Store optimization very unique and highly sought after. And so you may want to get in there early before this hits big time. As I say, this VentureBeat article has been shared quite rapidly. You'll see some screenshots as well of DataCube on the back end. So I have to say thank you very much to GummyCube. They are terrifically supporting this show. Go and check them out. Go and have a look at this VentureBeat article. And thanks very much for supporting the show. Asking Point is a complete customer engagement platform for your mobile apps. So if you think about what this actually means, it means that you can use analytics in your app to control when that rating widget pops up. You know the rating widget when you ask users to go and rate your app? Well, you can actually really be smart about when you pop that up, because at the moment, you only have a limited amount of options with the open source widgets that are available. The benefit of this platform by Asking Point is that you get to decide in real time, not only the duration of when it comes up, but when to and where in the app to pop this rating widget up. It's highly effective. I'm a big fan, having played around with the dashboard. And so to get a basic account for free, go to www.askingpoint.com/appguy, all lowercase. If you do go to that link, then you not only get the basic account for free to try it out, but if you do upgrade to the more premium accounts, then you get a 30% off for the first 6 months. I want to thank Asking Point for sponsoring this show, and I encourage you all to go and check it out now. Okay, so there's two things we need to do before we say goodbye. One is that we love to come up with new ideas for apps, and so that we can work on these. I'm guessing, are you able to look and give us something that's on the site at the moment for an app project? Like, are you able to reveal anything that's potentially something that we can look at and work on?
For sure, I can tell you some of the projects that arrive to Ghibli, the clients pay confidentiality, but those that they don't pay it are visible, and they are also available to be read in English at n.ghibli.com. And if you want me to share some of the recent ones, for example, I can tell you a small city from central north Spain. It's called Burgos. I don't know if you know it. They have a great cathedral. They just posted a project because they want to do an app for the public bus service. So when you are at the stop, you know how long is for the bus to come. You can use your mobile with NFC technology to pay the entrance, the ticket. Also for tourists, it can work to let them know where the most touristic points of interest are. What else? What other projects? We have a Ghibli right now.
I have to say, this is the most interesting chat we've had in this section, because normally we come up with these wild ideas that are something that we just think would be cool. But here are actual projects that people can go, and I'll make sure I put a link on theappguy.co to this. Just people need to go to episode 246, search for your name, Fernando Ballester, and you'll see the links to these projects. But yeah, I'd love to hear one more.
trying to think, what else do we have? We have a project. Yeah, we have a project called eRestaurants, and it's already on development. And it started as owner of a restaurant that wanted to digitalize their menu, and it ends up that also it's going to be possible for the waiters to take the notes from the tablet, and perhaps in a third phase, if everything goes well as well, for the client to pay with NFC technology, like mobile payments. I think it's the biggest trend for this year when it comes to mobile technology. I'm sorry I cannot share another one. I got blind, but really we have hundreds of projects already published in the link, and the podcast audience is able to read them all.
Fernando, thank you so much for sharing that. And so the last thing we tend to do is that this is the App Guy podcast. We love talking about apps. And if you're a smartphone user, could you pick up your phone and give us one or two apps that you tend to use in your business or your personal life that you think would be good recommendations for us? And, you know, not the typical ones, but ones that you feel like are maybe new to us.
Okay. I can tell you I'm using Go Trainer. It's a company from Valencia, and they produce Bluetooth. It's kind of app and wearable. Okay, so they produce a smart T-shirt for runners, and it comes with a Bluetooth device attached to the T-shirt. It's pretty small. I mean, it doesn't bother you when you are doing sport. And what it tracks, it's like kind of a runner's app, but not the typical one. I mean, thanks to having this Bluetooth next to your heart, it tracks things like your heart rate, stuff like that. So I use it a lot. I'm not a big user of training apps like, I don't know, Strava and Domondo, although I try them and they are cool. But this one, it catch my attention because of the T-shirt thing and the Bluetooth. I mean, it really feels more like a professional.
So, Fernando, you have to say that you are doing all these firsts. I've never had a smart T-shirt on the show.
And okay.
246. So that's great. I'll put a link to that definitely in the show notes.
I'm using also, I bought a Chromecast a week ago, and I'm using the Chromecast app a lot. I know it's nothing new, probably everyone knows, but I'm pretty much impressed of the Chromecast.
Yeah, I mean, how many apps are you finding that do have that ability to Chromecast?
Well, it's true that there are not many. For example, I miss Spotify having a Chromecast connection, but in Spain, Spanish TV, the media groups, let's say, or the channels, they are the bigger ones are all optimized for Chromecast. Also, the apps we develop here at Ghibli, that, for example, the Spanish League TV, it's also available for Chromecast. And then you have always YouTube or anything you can send from Chrome Navigator. You can put it on the screen, on the TV screen. So it's true, it's a new device, but it cost me only €35, and it's a very good price for what you can do now. And I think it would be a better price for what you will be able to do in a few months.
Yeah, just for anyone who's wondering what it is, I mean, it's a device that you put into your TV through a USB connection, and then you can send things from your smartphone through to appear on the TV. You see, I'm using currently Apple TV, which has changed the way I view TV. I've not watched any network TV for 3 years. It's all through the Apple TV, and I know that I've been looking at the Chromecast, but because, like, I've got an iPhone, I'm not sure how great it would be with the integration between the iPhones and the Chromecast. But I guess if I use Chrome as the browser, then I can send stuff to the Chromecast.
Yeah, that's correct. That's correct.
Well, that's great. That's two great recommendations. Well, I have to say, Fernando, it's been a wonderful journey chatting to you. It's so inspirational to hear, like, you know, you going off and doing the digital nomad stuff in Poland, and then coming to Yeeply and helping the app developer team. How best can we reach out and connect with you personally?
Well, of course, you can add me on LinkedIn, any person, or I can give out my email. It's fer@ghibli.com. You can find me as well in Twitter, fer how do you call the slash
yes.
BRU? Yeah, but I guess the LinkedIn or the email, it's the easiest way.
You know what I'll do? I'll make sure that all that is on the show notes at episode 246. You just scroll down just past the audio and you'll see then a link to LinkedIn, Twitter, and also an email that they can send you a message. Thank you so much for sharing your insights with us. All the best with Yeaply. And I'm really looking forward to seeing how massive your platform grows globally.
Great. I hope that I will be soon in the UK for expanding Ghibli there. So if anyone from the audience has an app idea, I'm really glad to hear it.
Yeah, we have 246 ideas from 246 shows. So and we're all full of ideas. That's a great offer. Thanks so much. And all the best, Fernando.
All the best. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the App Guy podcast. Just remember that this show is sponsored by preapps.com. And to show your support for this show, go along to www.preapps.com. It's free to register. And if you're an app developer, you want to do that because they are the premier pre-launch mobile marketing and discovery platform. And you'll be joined by only 2,000 other apps where they have actually helped reach 60 million client downloads. So go to preapps.com and thanks very much for supporting the App Guy podcast. This episode was brought to you by Gummy Cube. Just go to GUMMICUBE.com and go check out their App Store optimization service. And if you're using web data to optimize your app, you're doing it wrong. You need to be looking at mobile data. They have a full analytics package where you can get mobile data. It's very different from app data. People do different stuff on search compared to mobile apps. And so go to gummycube.com, check them out. Thanks very much for supporting this show. Also remember to go to askingpoint.com/appguy. That's all lowercase, askingpoint.com/appguy. And you'll get an exclusive offer as a listener that will give you a discount of 30% if you end up subscribing to their premium services. Now they do have a basic account, which is free to use. You can certainly try them out. I highly recommend doing that. But if you do ever need to upgrade because your app is growing like mad because of all the ratings you get, then you'll need to use the offer code. And you can find that at askingpoint.com/appguy. And thank you, Asking Point, for sponsoring the show.